So Galatians 5:22 gives us nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Right? So here, can we do it? Here. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. No law. Okay, good stuff. Well, today we're on 6, which is goodness. Goodness. And now, goodness is an interesting word. It can be very broad, right? We can talk about a lot of things, you know, as good, as a wide range of use that we would use it just in our normal language here, you know, in the United States in English, right? So, you know, we could say something like, you know, last night Sherry and I went out and I could say, hey, you know, the pizza at Steve's in Platteville is good. It was good pizza. Okay. You know, or we could say, you know what? I could say something like, I'm frustrated. I could say, you know what? It would be really good if the Minnesota Twins could get a pitcher and maybe a reliever because they blew it again last night. Very frustrating. So that'd be good. It'd be good if they could get a pitcher that could help them out, right? So that's good. Well, is that what we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit here? You know, I don't think so. I think there's something more going on when Paul's speaking of something that the Spirit's doing. In particular, we look at this, well, any of these fruit, right? It's about people. It's about who we are. It's how we act, things we do. You know, so we could say, you know, someone is a good teacher. They're a good teacher, or they're a good basketball player, or they're a good singer, all right? So we're saying that they're good at something, that whatever the thing that they're doing is, they do a good job, or, I mean, I'm using the word, right? I can't even get away from the word. It's just there, right? They're meeting expectations, or maybe even above and beyond sometimes. So, you know, when you say something is you're good at, we may say like, you know, they're going above and beyond in some ways. Now, biblical goodness hints at something else besides just being competent. Okay, and in fact, now I'm going to get a little seminary nerdy here, all right? Just a little bit, okay? So the word goodness is this word. It's agathosu. And it's fine. I wrote it in Greek. So okay, agathosune, okay? Now, you may hear that word agathos, okay? And we'll talk about that here, you know, about good. So it means goodness or righteousness. There's a rightness. Okay, so okay, we got have that little piece in there. You know, if you look in, if you remember, well, I don't have to look here, but in Matthew 20:15, and Jesus tells a parable about hiring folks. He hires some people, they tell the fields, and then later some more come, and he sends them out, and then like a few came with just like an hour left, and they went out. And when they came back, he paid the ones who just got their whole day's wage. And then we got to the people who got there first. They thought they were going to get more. So if they gave them, well, we'll probably get more, right? And he didn't. And they're mad. Because, hey, we were here. We toiled in the sun all day long, and you gave them the same. And, in fact, I will look at here. If you look at what he said here in Matthew 15:20, then what is Jesus' response? It's very interesting, actually. So Matthew 20, verse 15. Here we go. Parable workers. Here we go. And Jesus, here's our response. He says, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am, and here my envy, it says, generous. Now, Brad, King James, goodness. ASV says goodness. It's the same word. It's the adjectival form of that is agathos. All right? Again, you may like heard the name agatha. It means good or useful or... has aspects of capable, serviceable. There's a maybe like moral goodness and generosity, and that's kind of that aspect that like NIV and other translations try to pull out of there. That you're mad because I'm generous, or I'm good. Okay, so generosity, righteousness or rightness. I think that's what we're kind of maybe hinting at here when we think of this broad category of goodness. All right? So we think back to like a phrase like, she's a good teacher. All right? We say, okay, they're good at what they do. You know, they do it well. All right? But there's also maybe, I mentioned a broader aspect that maybe they go beyond what the strict limits are, right? That they do their job with a grace or a generosity, all right? You know, when you say someone does something nice, they say, out of the goodness of their hearts. You know, it's above and beyond sort of thing. That generous feeling to it, right? Okay, so what is goodness then? What is the goodness of the heart? What makes a person good? What is this aspect of the fruit of God's Spirit that is good? How we understand it here. And I think the best word that I in my current thinking now anyway, all right, if I want to wrap it up in something, it'd be the idea of integrity. Okay, there's an aspect of that generosity of rightness that speaks to integrity, that the behavior that people see on the outside, the things that I'm putting out there for people to see, comes from what is inside. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. And this idea of goodness, then, is that really tied into an integrity of what a person is. So God's people, then, do what they do because it's the right thing to do. We be, you know, and we do what we say, right? So we keep our word, and we do what's right because it's right. That's a right thing to do. Reflects that idea from the Sermon on the Mount of the pure in heart, I think. Okay, so there's this aspect of goodness here. So what we want to look at here today then, similar to what we've done in the past few years, we want to see goodness in God. That God is good, and that's where it comes from. We'll look at maybe an example or two of that particularly in the Old Testament, maybe of how that works out. We want to see then goodness reflected in the life of Jesus. And then try to focus that in on goodness as a fruit, or part of the fruit of the Spirit. And then why I think goodness is an essential part of a Christian's life. That's very important. Okay, so now you probably heard it, right? Maybe you've been to a church somewhere, and the pastor, someone, they'll say, God is good. And then people say, all the time. They'll say, all the time. Why do we say that? Because it's true, right? It's true. Turn and look at Psalm 136. I mean, look at a few things here. But we say that because it's true, and we look in places like Psalm 136, which just says, guess what it says? guess. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God. His love endures forever. Thanks, Lord. Okay, on. But first one, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God is good. Turn forward a couple, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 68. 68 says this, talking about God. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Now, so this idea of this essential aspect of God, who he is good, right? If you recall, you know, from the book of Exodus, and Moses was pleased with God. And he wanted to see God's glory. Remember this? You want to see God's glory. And God says, well, here's what I'll do. I'll stick you in this cleft of a rock, and my goodness will pass before you. You can't see my face, so we die. And even that, he said, I'll cover you with my hand. See, so we're, you know, freaking God's hand, and I don't know what that means. But the idea is just that God's glory, that who he is, the very essence of God is goodness. That's really deep and amazing. It really, really is. You know, I think that this idea of goodness then is, you know, in math, you have an axiom, okay? And it's like a foundational statement. And then from this foundation, then other things can flow through that from that idea. So that's what an axiom is. You kind of a solid base of things. And I think goodness then is axiomatic in understanding God and who He is. We know that God is generous. We know that He is trustworthy. We know that He has no deception in Him. And so that idea of God is good. That is what goodness is. Now, even we see in the Bible that even when bad things are happening, evil, that God is still good. The whole, when Joseph was with his brothers at the end, and he said, you know, you intended all these things for evil, but God intended for good. Okay, now do not make. It's not saying that God makes evil and it makes it good. Okay, evil is evil. That's not what we're talking about here. But we are saying that in the evil of that is out there, evil is evil. Joseph said, hey, you know what you guys did was wrong to me. Yeah, throw me in the pit and sell me a slave. That was a bummer. Hey, evil is evil, but God in His goodness, we're reminded here that God in His goodness His goodness is sovereign. Okay, that's what we're talking about. His goodness is so, again, part of who He is and that He is still the Lord and King. And that goodness will come through, even in the face of bad things. You know, so, yeah, don't, you know, something bad's happened to someone, terrible, don't want, you know, God's good, He'll take care of you. Well, thanks, right? You know, but just know we can trust in this solid foundation. All right? Not that evil is good, but God is good. And goodness, His goodness is sovereign. Okay, so we can go on and on. Okay, we can spend all day in the Psalms alone looking at God's goodness. Okay, but let's move on. So God is good. And we see that in places like, just an example, you know, a real good one is in Daniel. Okay, Daniel was just an example of God's goodness. Remember the story of Daniel? If you look in Daniel chapter 6, and I won't go there necessarily, but it's just that he was just a good, upright man. He was described as, you know, these people were against him, and they wanted to get him out of there. And when they examined him, they couldn't. He was upright, he was trustworthy, he was honest, and they couldn't find anything, any charge leveled against him. And so then they came to the conclusion, okay, we'll have to make something up. Or we'll do it through his God, okay? But the point is that they couldn't fight because he was good. And in that goodness, they couldn't bring anything against him. Now, that kind of goodness often is not popular with those who are corrupt. Right? Maybe in places, in your workplaces, or meet people, or neighbors, friends, that they look at you and doing good things, and it bugs them. I've always thought that was odd. When you know, someone says, oh, you're a goody two-shoes, blah, blah, blah. Why are you mad that I'm doing good? That's weird. Now, maybe they're guilty, maybe whatever, but corruption and corrupt folks, they don't like that kind of thing. Often, your goodness or your integrity may come as an obstacle to someone's goals of power or greed, right? And the aspect of goodness we see in Daniel, too, is that Daniel did the right thing, even when it was not a comfortable thing to do. And that's, again, part of the fruit of God's Spirit. See, you do the right thing, even when it costs or even hurts. And we see then in Daniel 2, in that example of him, when they did come at him, you know, they threw him in the lions then, for goodness sakes. That Daniel had the opportunity to take an easy way out. He could have. He knew it was coming. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that he whipped his windows open and prayed they were going to see him. He did the right thing. He did not take the easy way out. And that's important. If you quick turn to Psalm 15. Just an example of goodness and the idea of goodness and rightness or righteousness. Psalm 15 says this. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has a slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, Who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath, even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury, and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will not be shaken. That's a picture of goodness. Of goodness in a person's heart, of integrity and a good life. That is biblical goodness then. A God whose very nature is good. And then his people reflect that goodness in the image of God. As people, we are image of God, that we reflect goodness in these things. Now, Jesus was a great example of doing good. Paul, interesting enough, when he's describing Jesus to people who hadn't heard of him before, in the book of Acts, said this. This is very interesting. In Acts chapter 10, he's talking to the folk there, telling about Jesus. Come on now. And in verse 38, Paul says this. Well, 39. Let's go 39. He says, 38. 37. You know that what was happening throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Jesus' reputation was one of goodness, that he went out and did good things. Hey, healing a blind person, that's a good thing. You know, turning water to wine. Well, those, that was a good thing. You know, he did good. He did good things. He was kind. He included those who were on the outskirts of things. He did what was right. He was the reflection of God. He was God in showing his integrity. He did right even when it was costly. Even when he had the opportunity to maybe make a choice that was easier for him, he did not. And that was his goodness. See, when he was tempted by Satan in the desert for 4 days, Jesus did the right thing. His goodness showed through in that. When Peter tried to stop him from going to the cross, Jesus didn't turn away from that decision. When his own family tried to turn him away from the path that he was on, bring him home and not do such embarrassing things, he made the right choice. This Friday, we'll consider Jesus' agony in Gethsemane. And even there, he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And even before Pilate, he had the opportunity to get out of this situation. And he did not. And Paul, in Philippians 2:8, says that he was obedient even to death. That is a picture of Jesus in his goodness. The integrity of who he was as God and reflecting as a human to show us the way. He is our model. Jesus is our model of goodness. If you want to know how to be good, look at Jesus. So then what does this mean then as the fruit of the Spirit then, okay, for us? All right? If God in his very essence and nature is good, we see that then reflected in the example of Jesus himself, even to the cross. And in that giving of the Spirit to us, that's in us, we know that goodness is a heart thing. It's in us. If we're going to be good for people to see, we have to be good in us. Look at Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, there we go. In Luke chapter 6, we see, starting at verse 43, Jesus is doing some teaching. And he says this: "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks." What we do shows who we are. Our actions show what, or better who is inside us, right? That's the fruit of the Spirit. See, on our own, we lean towards selfishness and pride and corruption, but the fruit of God's Spirit, that's why it's a fruit that God is doing in our hearts. And that in Christ, this foundational acid of fruit grows in us more and more and more, and then we're known by it. Someone like, I was thinking about this week a little bit about like someone like Barnabas was a great example of this. How he was described as a good man. You know, when he was described by the apostles and recommended to Paul, he's described as good in Acts. And the great thing about Barnabas was that goodness that came out of him by his Spirit, it enabled him to see good in others. He's known as the encourager. And so when he found these Gentile churches that were doing stuff, he didn't say, oh, well, you're not quite doing it right or anything like that. He was just so happy that God's Spirit was working in there, in that goodness of it. And that was a good example of the Spirit, how that Spirit works good. It's a fruit. If it's in you, then it will show. And we can judge ourselves by that thing. And that's why I think, then, that I think we've seen already why Paul uses the singular fruit to describe these nine things. Because it's all part of one big old chunk of fruit, kind of. And we're showing all of it. So doing good, then, I think, is an essential part of the Christian life. It really is. The Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was teaching his disciples, his followers, okay, he was not describing just a new set of rules. He was describing a entirely new way of life. And he told us, you know, gave an example of things like salt. We are salt. So we go in the world and you know, be a hedge against corruption and preservation, those kind of things. And then he gives an example of light. That we are light in chapter 5:16. And that picture of light, then that's our lives. Again, that's what people see, right? People see light. And then at the end of that section, he says, you don't take a lamp and put it on a basket. No, you put it on a stand and gives light to all in the house. And then what did you see? He said, in the same way, let your light, let your lives, let the things you do, let the actions that you do, the things that people see, the things that people hear you say, that's your light. Shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to our Father. Now, here's an interesting little thing. Again, a little nerdy, but it's fun. That when he says they may see your good works, it's not agathos, it's kalos, which means good. It also means beautiful. That's cool. Beautiful. Do people see our lives? And see beauty. See, it's not just the spiritual stuff we do. It's not just coming to church or you know, preaching the gospel or anything. It's everything. Is our lives beautiful? It's a beautiful thing to feed starving children. It's a beautiful thing to give someone a helping hand. It's a beautiful thing to treat each other decently at work. It's good. And that's what people see. And then if they can connect that as a fruit, as something that's not ordinary, then the attention turns to God. Now, if you are, not quite there yet. So light is our social, our ethical lives. Now, Paul talks about this in a couple different ways too. We're all very familiar with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? For by grace we are saved through faith. It's not our own doing. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast, right? And that's what we're memorizing, I think. But there's more. And I think it's very unfortunate, because I think in our evangelical world, we want to make sure that people understand that you don't earn your salvation. And that's true. We do not. works don't save us. But in that verse in chapter 2, 8, and 9, there's also 10, which says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And in fact, that verse is still part of the same sentence. We're chopping a thought in half. We take that part out. And we have to remember that the reason that the goodness of God saves us, not by ourselves, but the result of that, the fruit of that saving, if that is happening and the Spirit's in you, is going to be goodness. Is you are going to do good things because of this. That's key. Paul says the very same kind of thing in Titus. In fact, Titus, he goes on and on about it. It's a very interesting little book that way. Let's see, Titus, finally, there it is. In Titus, we're going to look at Titus a little bit more here, but chapter 3, and starting at verse 4. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, okay, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we may become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. For Paul, that the whole idea of being good, of doing good things, of just practically getting in there and doing good was just tied right into the gospel itself. Not as the same things. It doesn't save us, but it is the result of being saved. And you don't just rip them apart. You don't have part of your church, they're the gospel people, and part of your church, maybe they're the good works people. We don't have the proclamation people and the social justice people. No. It's together. It's who God is. You don't separate God. God is good. And the fruit of the Spirit then reflects that. Now, again, if you think that maybe this is just one little thing in Paul's thinking, I have a list of Paul, what he thinks about goodness, right? Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. 2 Corinthians 9:8. "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Galatians 6:9-10. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Colossians 1:9-10. "For this reason, since the day you heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding the scripture gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." 2 Thessalonians 3:13. "As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good." Titus 1:8. "Rather be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined." That's talking about an elder. Titus 2:3. "Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good." Titus 2:7. "In everything set them an example by doing what is good." Titus 2:13-14. "While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that we are his very own, eager to do good." Remind the people, Titus 3:1-2. "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good." Titus 3:8. "This is a trustworthy saying. I want you to stress these things. So you trust in God, they be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good." Titus 3:14. "Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not to live unproductive lives." God is good. Jesus showed us true goodness. We're going to celebrate this weekend. When he went up on that cross, he's saying, "This is good. If you want to know what is good, if you want to know how to be good, look at me. Look at Jesus, he said. You know, when Paul said in Romans 12, overcome evil with good, that's what Jesus did. It was his goodness that brought him to that cross. It was his goodness that allowed him to set aside his own self, his own desires, and let injustice reign upon him. It was his goodness that he loved us and saw us and wanted to save us. The cross is proof of the goodness of God. The cross is the source and the pattern for us to do good, to be good. The fruit of God's Spirit in goodness is a foundational, axiomatic idea of which so much else flows. Out of the goodness of God, he shows us his love. Out of the goodness of God, we see peace. Out of the goodness of God, we see patience and kindness and all these things. It's all wrapped up. And so our encouragement, our challenge, I think, in this aspect of God's fruit is to do good. In all you do, every opportunity you have the opportunity to do good, you do it. Because it's right. Because that's what Jesus showed us. Goodness is good. And I want us, hopefully us as a spirit, as we grow in this, that part of our lives will just become like breathing. We'll just do good. You know, whether it's holding the door for someone in a restaurant, to stopping to help someone with a flat tire, whatever it is. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. That's the message, and that's what goodness is. Amen. Go in goodness this week and see what God will do. Amen.